Stephen Manley,
Is he like a good high school player and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But like it's, you know, a good basketball player.
Right.
Cricket. Baseball.
How about Mays McCovey? You still see them?
I saw McCovey in last year.
You go to these car shows ever?
Once in a while, but they.
What's your experience about them?
They don't play much like that.
Yeah. Do you enjoy them or?
I love the car show.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you like about it?
People, you know. And plus, I could be sitting around, I was looking at the people out there dealing the cars, you know, the car dealers.
Yeah.
And there's good people from around that Sacramento area, San Jose, like that.
Okay, your top salary on your top year was how much? 50. Now, how do you feel about these guys today making $2-3 million a year?
I'll be honest, sometimes I get sick.
I mean, are you angry or how do you feel?
I don't know what I call it anger or not, but I'm not angry. You know, I don't get angry about it. You know,
right.
Because I figure if you get that much, can't get it.
I heard Gibson say that he, for the time that he played, he was paid well. You know, when times are different. So, you know, he said he didn't look back on it with any bitterness. Do you still go to games?
Yeah, once in a while.
Watch it on TV?
Watch on TV.
Which particular players impressed you the most today?
Players? Just a Griffin from Seattle.
Do you know his dad?
Yeah. And Barry Bonds, he coming on good too.
Is there anything you see that you don't like about the way some of these guys approach the game?
I really don't put that much.
Right. If you had to do it all over again, would you do anything different?
Well, yes, a lot. Like I said before, I think I would take care of myself. I think when the first came up, I just took my money that's what's called bloated, you know.
Right.
And like I said, about Herbert Frank called me off and told me, hey, and what he wanted to do, take some of my money and put it away for
me. Right.
But I wasn't able to do it. Okay. He the one got made back on his
feet. Yeah, right. Exactly.
But in my mind, I said, this is my money. I do what I want.
Exactly.
And he did that by handing me for 3 years.
Yeah.
Do it for me.
Right.
He will sign my contract. Herbert Herman Frank, you know.
Right.
And now I was listening.
I really want to thank you for the time and the experiences you shared with us. It's really been a pleasure. I enjoyed it. Okay. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Okay, we're now going to be talking to Don Money. Don played from 1968 to 1983. At first with the Philadelphia Phillies, and then from 1973 on with the Milwaukee of the American League. Really appreciate your time today, Don. Can you tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised and how you first came into contact with the game?
I was born in Washington, D.C., and lived most of my life in New Jersey, but when I signed out of high school, I was living right outside of Washington, D.C. in southern Maryland, and I signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates through Joe Consoli and Sid Thrift. Mm-hmm. Which was the general manager of Pittsburgh up until a couple of years ago. And I signed after I graduated in 1965 and played 3.5 years in minor leagues and came to the big leagues the first time in 1968 for a short period. 1969 to stay.
Going back to when you were first signed, how did that, do you remember the day that it happened or how it happened? Were your folks involved?
I can remember how it happened, but I can't remember the day it happened.
Yeah, okay.
How it happened, I was playing for my high school in La Plata High in Southern Maryland, and my high school coach called up the Pittsburgh Scouts, mm-hmm. which were at the time Joe Consoli was living in Baltimore.
Okay.
And what he said, we have a kid here who might have the ability to perform in the major leagues, and they came over, they watched me play a couple games, and they invited me to two tryout camps, mm-hmm. and after the second tryout camp, I signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Remember what they gave you to sign?
Nothing. I didn't get nothing.
Nothing.
Had,
let's see, you were what, 17 at the time?
Or? I had just turned 18.
Okay, how'd your folks feel about it?
Oh, they were excited. Matter of fact, I was playing American Legion game, which was only sponsored. It was any age group. It was like a semi-pro.
Right.
And matter of fact, I signed during the game on the hood of my father's car at the ballpark. And then I think about 3 days later, Joe Consoli and Sid Thrift drove me down to Salem, Virginia, which was their rookie team.
Okay. So that was where you spent your first year. Was it rookie league?
In rookie league 1965, we played somewhere in the neighborhood of 45, 50 games.
Okay. And that was your first time away from home?
That's first time away.
What was that like?
Oh, it was different because, you know, it's different. I mean, you're always home, your parents taking care of you and doing this, and now all of a sudden you're on your own, and it was like four of us. We got together, we rented a house, and matter of fact, we rented the basement.
Uh-huh.
And there was four of us. It wasn't that far from the ballpark, and so my mother came down one year, you know, see how we were doing, and brought my car down to me, and he says, "You living here?" "No, you're not either." So she went out and rented me an apartment. She stayed for the summer. My brother came down. Matter of fact, he ended up working at the ballpark as an usher during the summer. I mean, he was only, that was 1965, so he could have been only been about 15, something like that.
Right,
so it worked out fine.
What position were you playing in the first year?
I was playing shortstop.
Okay. That's where you played in high school, I guess?
I played shortstop and pitched in high school.
Really? Tell us about your pitching a little bit.
Well, I had a good curveball. I threw in the mid to low 80s, velocity-wise. Had a good breaking ball.
Yeah.
And we played high. I got the records for strikeouts and low ERA. But where I started making my mark was hitting.
Uh-huh.
And I was hitting some home runs and, you know, hit for a good average my last 2 years in high school. And so when Joe Consoli came down, he said, "You know, what do you like best, pitching or playing infield?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "Well, I like playing infield because I get to hit."
Right.
You know, at that time, pitchers had to hit, you know, but it was only...
Yeah, but now you got to play every day also.
And every day, I said, "I like playing infield myself." He said, "Well, I suggest you stick an infielder."
Right.
So I stayed, and then I moved to third base after my first year in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm. I see you actually did play some games in the outfield, too.
I played a few games in the outfield in Philadelphia in 1972 when Mike Schmidt came up.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny Doyle was their second baseman, and they wanted me to play, so I went to left field and played around 20, 22 games, something like that, neck of the woods. And I didn't particularly like it. But, you know, to play, I'd go anywhere. You know, I was a type player. You want to play first, I played first. You want to play left, I played left.
Why did you like the outfield?
Well, because I was always an infielder. You know, mm-hmm. Outfielders, you're not, I shouldn't say you're not into the game, but, you know, you're not on your toes, I don't think, as much, because a lot of times you're thinking what I did my bat inning before I struck out or flew out or whatever. Infielders, basically, you can't do that because every pitch you're in the game, every pitch might come to you, even though every pitch might come to the left fielder.
Right.
But it's a different because you're only sitting at 90 feet away.
If it's running, you might have to come to second in case.
Exactly.
You
know, if there's a base hit the left field, man going to third, you're in the play.
Right, right, right.
You know, a lot of times the outfielders are not in place.
Right,
you know, you can take an outfielder, they might get two or three chances a game.
Right. Okay.
Infielders might get, your third baseman, okay, fine. They might get six, seven chances a game. Shortstops are more, of course.
Yeah.
You know, so you're always thinking, who's going to pick off? Well, we'll try to pick this guy off.
Right.
Outfielder just
you like
thinking.
That, you like
and I like to be in the action a little bit.
So how did your rookie season work out?
It struggled a little bit. You know, I was happy to be there. I was nervous, and I ended up hitting 229 my first year. And you know, I hit two home runs opening day, and then I ended up with six all year. And it was just one of those things that I just never got untracked.
What about fielding?
Fielding was fine, you know. Uh-huh. I played short, but I was in the Marine Reserves at the time.
Okay.
And I played around 120 games, 125 games, and made 20 errors, which was like one every six games or so forth. And they said, well, that's too many errors for a shortstop. So then Larry Bowe was coming the following year.
Yeah.
And then we needed a third baseman. He said, do you mind going to instruction league and learning how to play third?
Right.
I said, no, I'll do that, man. So I went third and played third most of my career.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Was it much of an adjustment to you, or you caught on pretty quickly?
Well, not really. It was shortstop going to third, mm-hmm. which there's a difference.
Different kind
know,
of throw.
Right.
Yeah.
A third baseman going to shortstop now, it's a different because there's a different throw. There's a different reaction time. Shortstops can see the signs. Third baseman can't.
Well, grab the coverage.
Right. Short. Yeah. You're deeper. You're in more plays in the game. And so when I went to third, I figured if I could play short, I could play third. You just couldn't see the pitches.
After that rookie year, did you, in your wildest dreams, think you had a shot at the majors?
Well, I felt that, you know, I was happy to be there. And then after my second year, it was really the year I think I could play because I ended up hitting 295. Uh-huh. I played, you know, I was hitting 300 all year up until the last week.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I knew I could play because I proved that I could hit in the league. It was just, you know, getting in the right frame of mind and, you know, right on the right track.
You felt a lot of it was met in your first year.
Rookie, I mean, you see rookies have great years, then all of a sudden they come back to the second year, they say sophomore jinx.
Right.
Well, I was the other way around.
Uh-huh.
You know, once I got my feet wet, I was a little bit better.
That's interesting.
And, you know, a lot of guys, they come up there, they do well the first year, and all of a sudden, well, I got it made, and they don't maybe push that hard. Well,
right.
I was pushing harder because I didn't do that good the first year.
So maybe that was a blessing.
Right, blessing in disguise for me. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was mainly a pull hitter.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't hit very many balls to right. And mm-hmm. I think the biggest mistake the Phillies made with me was when they hired Wally Moses. Nothing against Wally.
Mm-hmm.
Was that he never seen me hit, and he was a left-handed pin hitter.
Yeah.
And I was a right-handed pull hitter.
Right.
So his theories didn't work with my thinking.
Uh-huh.
And then the next 2 years, I hit in the 220s both years, and then all of a sudden, you know, I knew I was in trouble. I had to get out because it just wasn't working right. Wherever I tried, I dug deeper.
Right.
And when I went, got traded to Milwaukee after the 72 season.
Right.
And then I went over to Milwaukee, and up until maybe June 2nd, I was hitting like 196.
Yeah.
And Del Crandall took me off on the side. He was our manager. And he said, Don, he says, I understand you're a pull hitter. Well, I was hitting the ball through the middle. I was just conscious of hitting the ball through the middle. And I said, fly balls and
where in the batting order were you?
Well, at that time I was hitting about six.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden I wasn't getting any hits. I was hitting the ball, but wasn't getting any hits.
Right.
He says, he took me aside, I want you to hit every ball down left field line, foul in the bleachers on the walkie. What that would do is work your hips and work your hands together. And once I got that together, I said, oh, all right, you know, you felt better in your mind. And then next 3 months, I hit like 357 1 month, 345, and 337. So I ended up hitting 284.
Right.
And for the next 6 years, I hit good, consistent. Lowest I hit was 267.
How many years were you in the minors?
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
I came up in 1968.
Yes, you remember when you first got the word you were going up to the big club and how you felt about
it,
how it happened?
After 67, I had a good year in 67. I beat Larry Heisel out for the MVP of the Carolina League.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was at Pittsburgh, he was at Philly. Well, after that, I got traded to Philly.
Okay.
So now we're both on Philly. And they invited us to the camp in spring training 1968. Him as a center fielder, me as a shortstop. And we both made the team.
Okay.
So we went from A ball to the big leagues.
Right.
So we skipped double A and triple A. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you're happy, you're nervous, you're
whatever. Yeah, how old were you at the time?
That was 1968, so I was 20 years old.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't quite 21 yet.
Right.
And, you know, I was only a couple years out of school.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
So I was happy and nervous and all of the above. And all of a sudden, things didn't work out. I was hitting like 230. It was only up 13 times.
Right.
And Heisel was hitting well, and then we got sent down. We came back the following year.
Right. And I see the following year, you basically played full-time.
Right up late, you know.
For 450 at bats.
Right, you know, I was in the reserves, and I had missed 2 weeks during the summer, and every weekend once a month.
But I had you at shortstop now.
Shortstop, right.
Right. And who were some of the guys on the team at that time?
Well, let's see.
Let me ask you this first. As a 20-year-old, you come to the big leagues for the first time. How'd the other guys treat you?
Well, they treated me fine. When I went to spring training, my first roommate was Don Locke.
Okay.
I rooted for the Washington Senators, and he played for them years earlier.
Right.
And, you know, I was there, and he wasn't in yet, and he'd come in, yo, Roomie, get up, let's go, you know, all this kind of stuff. And,
right.
You know, and then when you walk out, I mean, it's just like, you know, you're young, and I know it happened to me, it did it to other people. When I'm there, I'm trying to take Bobby Wine's job, because that's who the shortstop was.
Right.
It was just part of life.
Right.
And then when...
How did Bobby Wine treat you?
Fine, you know, we got along good, and I mean, you know, everybody knows what's happening,
okay.
You know, I mean...
Right.
You know, I don't have no say-so who's here. If I do good, I'm here. If I don't do good, I'm not here.
Right.
And, you know, it was good politicking at that time. But, now, we had a good time. We had good players. You know, Richie Allen was there. We got along good. Bill White was there. Gonzalez, Rojas. We had some old-timers, and we had a good time. We didn't win many games, we had a good time.
Yeah, you were finishing toward the bottom of the league then, right?
Yeah, we were fifth or sixth every year. This is when they're, or seventh, eighth, whatever. Man, teams, we were always next to last every year.
Okay, speaking of those Philly years, speaking of pitchers you had to face, which ones come back to you as being tough?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because in Philly they hit 220 years and one 295. And,
right.
You know, and you come into New York, face Severs, Kuzman, you know, Ryan, he was learning, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, you come in New York, they definitely punch you out. You know,
if
you play a four-game series, you get 9-10 strikeouts you can look at. But see, I was a fastball hitter. Normally, I hit the ball, but I really didn't get any hits off the mats. And it was just one of those situations, you know, as the years, you know, went by and you got a little confidence.
Right.
You know, basically, in Milwaukee, you learn things, you know, and experience is the best teacher.
How was Schmidt when he first came up? Did you get an inkling of what he was going to go on?
Well, when Mike first came up, he couldn't hit nothing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he hit like 180 or 190. He hit some home runs. He had some power.
Right.
But he stood open, and they asked me, he said, do you think he can hit? I said, well, I don't think so, not the way he stands. If he closes his stance,
because
he was strong enough, he'd get the ball out.
Sure, sure.
Well, then a year later, he closed the stance up, got off the plate, and you know what happened after.
How did, what made him make those changes? Are you,
well, probably just people talking to him, plus him striking out 130 times and 275 at-bats probably.
Right.
And then he changed it around, and could have been the following spring, because I was already going now.
Did he always have that power, or is it something he developed?
No, he had power. He had 18 home runs that rookie year. He was only up like half a year, so, I mean, you knew he could pop it if he got a hold of it.
Right.
And then he become a better hitter.
Right.
And then when you have the power, it's going to go.
Okay.
And then you can put the ball in play, you're going to hit better.
How did it turn out when that you left to Philadelphia? How did that come about?
Well, it was just Milwaukee needed a third baseman, and Philly needed some pitching.
Right.
And Philly was looking, it was in the Jim Bong longboard trade. Wayne Twitchell, Ken Sanders, which in the meantime, en route to Philly, got traded to Minnesota for Cesar Tovar.
Right.
So, I mean, that helped them up. They got a utility man plus a couple pitchers. Milwaukee got myself and John Vukovic, you know, two third basemen. And, you know, I went over there, first started playing shortstop.
Right.
You know, if you look at the stats, the first 20 games, right, shortstop.
Right.
But, because we didn't have one.
Right.
And then we made it a trade for Tim Johnson from the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. When he came over, I went to third, and I was there for like 4 or 5 years.
Just a point of view of historical perspective, your first year in the minors, how much money were you making, and how much were you making when you left the Phillies?
My first 2 years, which was my rookie year, and my first full year, I was making $350 a month.
Okay.
And when I left, I never hit the real big money, but I got into...
This was in Philadelphia when you finished in Philadelphia.
Well, no, Milwaukee.
No, I'm talking about
Philly.
Just to get an idea of how it progressed.
I was 4 years in the big leagues, I made $28,000, something like that.
Okay.
$28,000, my fourth year in the big leagues.
Okay. So when you went over to Milwaukee, how were they doing at that time?
Well, they were a young organization. They were, I went there in 73, and they only came there in 70. Okay. So this is only their fourth year. And it was a young organization. Okay. Myself was there. George Scott had just came over from Boston. Okay. And we were two oldest guys there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I was like 20, maybe 24, 25, and he was 27 or something like that. Right. And but then we had a lot of guys in the 21 bracket, 22,
right.
21.
Right.
And when you have a young team, you make mistakes. And we just didn't have enough veterans to go along with until the later 70s. Then we got the veterans, you know, because all these young guys were veterans at the time. And then we just were one pitcher short, and that was a stopper in the bullpen. And then after the 80 season, they traded for Ted Simmons.
Yeah.
Fingers.
Right.
You know, we picked those guys up, and boom, you know. Now, Vukovich came over, so now all of a sudden we got a stopper, we got another pitcher, and got, you know, good hitter.
Right.
And then we started maturing, and we got the playoffs in 81, got the series in 82.
I know that. As far as the fans in Philadelphia versus Milwaukee, did you find any particular difference?
Well,
I've been to both places.
Well, the fans in Philly, first of all.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, they like everybody to win. Of course, everybody don't win.
Right.
Now, if you're doing well, they're all for you.
Right.
If you're doing bad, they go, which is their prerogative. They can do anything you want, you know. But sometimes they don't give you the opportunity. You know, they get on you a little too quick. But when I went to Milwaukee, completely different. I would never say anybody really booed me. I mean, I'm not saying you didn't walk up or somebody, in general, you know, because, you know, I was popular, you know, I was the easygoing type guy, you know, the fans there were great, you know, they were great. I mean, you know, I can't say Milwaukee was better than Philly, but, you know, maybe if I was older in Philly, you know, it would have been a different story, but I was older and burning in Milwaukee, and I enjoyed playing there.
Were there any one or two particularly memorable games that stand out?
Well, I had one game, I remember, right after the All-Star break. I remember George Brett got on my case a little bit in 1978, where I was only hitting 268 as a second baseman, but I had only played 10 games, and I made the All-Star team. Mm-hmm. But I was playing first base because Cooper broke his leg.
Okay.
And then right after that game, he says, well, you know, you really shouldn't be here. He said, you shouldn't be the starter. I said, hey, I have nothing to do with it. The fans vote. Well, right after that, we played Kansas City. And I went 5-for-5 that night against Kansas City. I think it was the only night I ever went 5-for-5 in the big leagues. It just happened to be that night we played them. But then a few years later, you know, I seen him and I said, hey, George, he was having an off year, but he was a starting third baseman.
Well, fan vote.
Yeah, when the fan vote. I said, George, I said, hey, you don't belong here. What do you mean? He said, well, you know, hitting 230, this guy's hitting 310. Well, you know, fans were, I said, that's exactly what you said.
Right.
So, you know, that game and the game I hit the Grand Slam in didn't count.
What was that about?
Well, it was bottom of the ninth, losing 9-6, playing Yankees second day of the season.
Uh-huh.
And I hit a Grand Slam, and the umpire, first base umpire, said that he started to call timeout, so they called it back.
Uh-huh.
And we lost.
Really?
We lost.
Who were some of your other teammates at that time?
In Milwaukee?
Yeah. You played with Robin Yount?
Robin Yount came up in 74. Paul Molitor came up in like 77 or 78, somewhere in that neck of the woods. Jim Gantner played second. I played third. Yount short.
Could you see the potential in them that they'd still be playing today? Or couldn't you really tell it?
Well, you knew they were good players. You know, Robin was just an all-around good player. Yeah. You know, he was a good shortstop. He hurt his arm, then he went center field.
Right.
Molitor was tough. Basically, I think it's still tough trying to find a position for him.
Yeah.
He's a good hitter.
He DHs a lot.
Right, DHs a lot. He started shortstop, but he had Robin, so he wasn't going to play.
Right.
Went to second. Okay. Center field, adequate.
Okay.
Right field, adequate.
Right.
Then he went to third base, and he said, try to help him. So he tried to help him, and he did a pretty decent job. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets hurt every year. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, trying to rely on a guy playing 150 games and plays 120 or 110 or whatever. But good player. Can hit, you know, speed, hit a little pop.
Which opposing pitchers in the American League gave you a tough time, were impressive? One or two?
Well, one guy we had a hard time was hitting was Sparky Lyle.
Okay.
I mean, wasn't overpowering. He just,
You were a right-handed hitter.
Yeah, he's a left-handed pitcher.
Did he have a screwball? Or?
No, a slider. Yeah. And you know he's throwing a slider. Yeah. So he's throwing, it's coming, here it comes. But I just had a hard time getting a base hit.
A lot of movement on the ball?
Yeah, I was a left-handed. He didn't throw real hard. I hit the ball, but couldn't get nothing.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you look at my stats, I think I got 3 hits in all times in Georgia.
Sounds like bad luck.
Yeah, that's probably about right. But that guy sticks out in my mind, because any given day you could hit anybody.
Right.
You know, Ryan, you got success, and no, that you didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those days.
How about the knuckleballers? Against that.
No, not too bad. Wilbur Wood over in Chicago, I played him, I wouldn't say real good, but I got my hits off of him.
Right.
You know, I don't know what the stats, because you hit 100, but I felt comfortable. See, that's the thing.
Right.
You know, if you feel uncomfortable facing a guy, that makes that much more difficult.
Right. How about the end of your career? How did that come about, and how did you sort of adjust to it?
Well, it was just ever the funny situation in 1983. He was up in Boston, and I got my last, as it turned out, my last major league hit. It was August 4th, and when we got back to Milwaukee, he called me in the office. We had an off day on Thursday to Friday, so he called me in the office, Harry Dalton, and says, Donnie, says, we have to make a roster change. I said, okay, what's that got to do with me? They wanted to bring up Candiotti, which is now Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we need a spot. Well, I didn't want my spot. And I said, well, what's the options? He says, this is what I can do. He says, I can put you on disabled list, trade you, release you. Send you back to the minor leagues. I said, well, forget the minor. He said, well, that was a formality, basically. Yeah. And then he says, well, I said, what about, and then there was one other one talking about making me a coach at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's talk about this one first. And we have about 6 weeks to go in the season. Yeah. And he says, we make you a coach for 6 weeks. I said, well, can you guarantee anything next year? He said, no, I can't guarantee. I said, well, forget that then, because, you know, it's not fair to use me for 6 weeks and then all of a sudden see you later.
Right.
You know, I just didn't feel fit. That was fair. I said, disabled list came up, and I said, well, wasn't going to the Myers. Now it was down to going on disabled list or getting released.
Right.
So at the time, we was in first place.
Mm.
Now, if it was in third place, maybe over it took my release, I could have signed with two or three other clubs right after that.
Right.
But every time my aunt, you know, club came in, they said, "Give me a point." I said, "Fuck, I'm an elder."
Right.
And that just worked out that way. And then at the end of '83, it was done. And I went to Japan for a couple of months, and I came home.
Would you care to talk about what you've done since you left baseball?
Well,